Destination Freedom. Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic heritage of the Negro people, is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. One of the first heroes of World War II was a Texas-born mess attendant, Dory Miller. In the chapter entitled Autobiography of a Hero, Destination Freedom tells the Dory Miller story to commemorate Pearl Harbor Week.
Well, he was on the hill a while ago, Miss Miller, shooting my cows with that there make-believe gun of his.
Playing with that gun?
Yeah. Ain't a kid in Texas loves a gun more than Dory. He sure loves guns.
He'll get hurt if he doesn't stop playing with those guns. Dory?
Nah, don't worry, ma'am. He'll hear you call and come home. He always does.
Dory!
I can hear her calling me, even now. She is my mother. She stands 10 years behind me on the crest of a Texas hill, her eyes alive for me. But this time, I'll not come home. So I stand under the twisted bridge of my ship, the Lipscomb Bay. They say the life of a man about to drown parades before him, and he hears the voices that call him. While the waves cover the Lipscomb Bay, I hear her voice. And on this day of my death, February 8, 1943, I hear the voices of men in Congress speaking of me.
Yeah, recognize it.
Yeah, the gentleman from the Magnolia State.
Yeah, recognize it.
Mr. Chavez, I rise to object with all the might and right in me to this here plan to appropriate money to a Dory Miller monument. What has this Dory Miller ever done to have his name there for congressional commendation?
If anybody needs commendation for what they've done in this war, it's those 12 white boys from my state who right now, while I stand here speaking to you and I'm dying on the high seas, don't think of Congress time with every Tom, Dick, and Dory Miller who gets his name on the hero list. Is it heroes you want? Where do you find boys who sacrifice more than our boys? Will someone please answer me? I hear the waves are thundering in the sea and the ships are going under from enemy guns. Turn to their graves, heroes from my noble state. Who is the Dory Miller of the committee? Yeah. Who ever heard of Dory Miller?
I am Dory Miller. And they said I was a hero. But long before that, before Pearl Harbor, before the planes and torpedoes caught up with the Lipscomb Bay, even then I was in battle after battle, for the planes that banked down at me could be battle with an old gun I held behind neighbor Shepard's fence. We shot down 100 million planes, my buddy and I.
Look
at them burn! Keep behind that gun,
Dory! Keep behind that gun!
You
got the whole fleet on
us! Lick them, Dory!
And a
boy! Oh, Dory! Who's that? The old lady. Oh, she can't visibly duck down. Come on.
Dory!
Oh, man, Shepard might. Oh, he won't tell.
Dory!
Wonder what she wants. What do you suppose she wants after dinner?
Dory!
nothing I hate worse than washing dishes. Nothing. I'm going to be a gunner. Gunning dishes don't get along.
But if you don't answer, well, you know what happened the last time we didn't answer. She gave you up.
I know. Well, listen, yeah.
Maybe if you tell her what we're doing.
Mom ain't got no match.
Oh, maybe this time she's got something good.
What's good in a gun?
Oh, gun ain't so hot. Gun will get you killed, my dad said.
Mine said it'll get you free, like in the Civil War. Mm-hmm. You watch. When you get out of high school, when you get in the Navy, be a gunner and you're a mechanic.
Yeah.
Wait.
Dory!
Jacob, she's coming.
Dory! Mr. Shepherd, have you seen my boy?
He was here, Miss Miller, but I can't place him now.
Was he playing with that old gun again?
Reckon he was. I don't think it was loaded.
If I don't stop him from playing with guns, he's going to get hurt as sure as you're born. Dory! Dory!
And I dreamed of being a ship's gunner and kept up my fight with imaginary planes and with real dishes in Texas restaurants. Until a tall time came around, and my buddy and I were able to say to Mr. Plato, the restaurant boss, Mr. Plato.
Don't Mr. Plato me. You boys finished those dishes?
Well, we wanted to tell you
that. Tell me nothing. They're piled high on your head. Now get back to work.
Mr. Plato.
You still standing there?
Yeah. We wanted to give you a fair notice.
Notice?
You tell him, Dory. We're quitting.
Don't you like the job?
It ain't the job. It's the dishes that get us. We're looking for a job with a future, Mr. Plato.
I see. Fresh out of high school, and you're planning on marrying the boss's daughter.
Mr. Plato, we're joining the Navy.
And just what do you suppose is in the Navy for you?
Well, I'm going to be a gunner, and Buddy here is going to monkey with machinery.
Well,
we sent our application in a week ago. They said, come over today.
Hate to leave you, Mr. Plato, but, you know, ain't no democracy in our town like this. All the jobs you get's in the kitchen.
So, democracy is what you're looking for. They say democracy for coloreds like the woman with a knife up her sleeve. And I don't see how the state of Texas is going to get along without you boys. I just don't see how.
Oh, we'll come back for a visit.
Yeah, sure. We might even help you with the dishes, Mr. Plato.
Before you join the Navy, boys.
Yeah?
Don't entirely forget the art of dishwashing. That ain't no lost art in the Navy. I got a hunch you're going to need it.
So the mechanic and the gunner left him with his old hunch. Went walking down the Dallas street, reread the Navy posters, and went over to the recruiting station where the chief had our applications all ready.
Well, are these your papers, fellas?
Yeah, that's my letter.
Okay, got good news for you. Everything's in order.
Oh, when do we start?
Just sign here and you're in. Uh-huh. There's some boot training for all recruits at first.
No, I mean, when do I get in that machinery school? You know, the poster
said... He's going to be a machinist, and I'm going to be a gunner, the way the poster
said. I know what the poster said, but nowadays the Navy's accepting Negroes only for mess attendants.
Kitchen work?
But the poster, they said...
I know what they said. If you want to get in, sign up or shut up. Well?
Well, we ain't aiming to intrude on your private Navy, mister. Come on, Dory, you heard what the man said.
Yeah, I heard, but...
Then let's get out of here, come on.
You signing up or signing out?
Well, what?
Well, I don't know, buddy. I burned my bridges. I told everybody I was gone. Things will change when we get on ship.
Unless a war starts, Sonny, and we don't have one on our schedule right now, ain't much changing going to be done. I'm telling you straight.
So what the poster
says? I don't make the rules. I just follow them. Now, what'll it be?
Will you come on, Dory, and let the white folks have their little old Navy, huh?
But why?
I told you. Read between the lines. The white folks can't sleep at night knowing a Negro's holding a gun. You coming or you going to Uncle Tom?
Don't hold up the line, one way or the other.
I'll sign.
Buddy, don't leave me.
Uncle Tom, this ain't no place for me. I ain't forced. No, sir, I ain't forced.
All right, fella. You'll start out as a mess attendant.
Start out and end, huh?
Now, step over here and meet one of the old attendants here. Hey, Joe.
Yes, sir?
Joe, show this boy the sights around the station, will you?
Sure, Chief. Sure.
Mess attendant.
Yeah, he did not. Come on down to the kitchen and get an idea of what it's all about. You just enlisted, huh?
Yep.
Well, for a volunteer, you're going to look awful happy if you don't mind my speaking from mine.
I don't mind.
Anything worrying?
Yep. What's a neighbor supposed to fight for anyhow?
Well, the posters say democracy and freedom.
Democracy.
Yeah. What about it?
Democracy's got a Jim Crow knife up its sleeve.
Huh?
A knife.
Oh, I guess. Nah, we got plenty of them down at the galley. You'll be working with millions of them. Folks, too.
And in the galley I worked. And it was a high climb to get topside to get a peek at the gun crews. And while learning to set up and serve the mess halls, I used my liberty in ports to wander about the penny arcades. I got the only target practice I ever had.
Here's a gunner. Step right up.
I'll take a try, miss.
And release the nickel, sailor.
All right.
Put it in the slot. All set?
I'm set. I got him in my sight.
Then you're off. Let it go!
In the arcades, I gripped the triggers and eased the itch for the feel of a gun. And now and then, I would shoot down the plane.
Got one other twisty. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Yeah, step aside, Mr. Tennant, and let a real gunner have a shot. Come on, give me a try.
At your service, gunner, at your service. One little nickel.
Now watch how it's done and go back to your galley, Miss Boy. I'll shoot rings around you.
And the real gunner shot rings around me in the arcades, and I wondered how it was done. Still, I practiced until my ship attacked the waves from Frisco to Hawaii. In the galleys while we cruised to Pearl Harbor, I caught all the orders they shot at me.
Don't watch the gun. Watch the galley, Miss Boy. Watch the galley.
Look alive, Miss Boy. Look alive, there. Look alive,
coming into Pearl Harbor. Now watch out for inspection. Watch out for inspection.
Evidence, Miss Boy. Watch those trees. Watch those trees.
Inspection of Pearl Harbor. Come on, clean up the galley, Miss Boy.
And I was alive and I was dead. I was alive to voices that jerked me helter-skelter. I was dead to the dream of being a part of a ship and part of a country. In the cool calm of Pearl Harbor, December 7th, I was tired and came down to the galley, dropped a tray of dishes at the cook's feet.
Oh, boy.
Clumsy. Very clumsy. You broke every living dish on the tray.
Sorry, cook, I couldn't hold it.
And you cut your hand besides.
Hey, it's not bad.
Now, let's see it. That's what you get for daydreaming, not minding your own business. And let me get some iodine. At least you can say you stirred your blood for the ship, even if it was in the galley.
Cookie.
Hold still, I'll have a tie in a minute.
Cookie, do you ever think...
If I did, would I be in the Navy?
No, I mean...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Will you ever get another job on this ship besides mess attendant?
At dinner, I overheard the Admiral say the Navy at Pearl Harbor is going to be just routine.
Well, the Admiral says it's going to be routine. Watch out. Ship's liable to blow up. Them Admirals don't know from nothing. Yeah, hold still now.
Cookie, if I wrote to the President and sent a letter through the channels, did you think they'd unsegregate this Navy?
Jack... If you send a letter clear up to St. Peter, them admirals would segregate the mail. Not the Almighty had a hand in it, then. Listen, you hear something?
It's ships boiling over.
Sounds like something whistling.
That poison could be...
Oh. Hey, Almighty, I was just kidding about St. Peter. Oh. Can't you take a joke? Watch it, Dora, watch it.
The ship flooded the galley. The roar came again, and I picked myself up and heard the order on the speaker.
Pearl Harbor's under attack.
Take your battle stations, take your battle hands on deck, all 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 hands on deck.
I heard them say, man the gun, man the gun. And again, my fingers itched for a feel of one. I lost my battle station. I climbed the hatch and saw that the ship was a funeral pilot. A man twisted on a burning deck like a caterpillar caught on a hot griddle. When I saw other shot away from the guns, I heard one hear me cry.
Help! Help me! Help!
It was a captain, caught beneath a steel turret near an anti-aircraft gun. I lifted back the metal and pulled him free.
Good man. Now take cover.
Let me get down to the bridge here. Now, lie here, Captain.
They see us. Duck down, duck down. They missed. They'll be coming back. Take cover, man. You hear me?
I hear you.
Then what are you doing?
I'm aiming the gun.
You've got no cover. They'll splatter you over the deck.
Hey, cover, take cover. Get away from that gun. Come on.
What
are you
doing?
Take cover.
I got him
in my sight.
Duck
down, you fool. I'm ready.
I've got
him in my sight.
Hey,
you hit.
Look at him
burn.
Burn, you
devil,
burn.
Say, man, who are you?
I'm Thorin Miller.
Where do you belong?
I'm a mess lieutenant. I belong in the galley.
No, you don't, mister. You belong behind that gun. Keep behind it.
And I kept behind it. And somehow it made me feel as if that was my birthday. It was a tall time. And of course my blood was boiling about in my head and straining and howling and singing me on. Of course I was rolled on wheels of my boyish itch to get at the gun. Of course all the delicate rehearsal shots of my childhood massed and miraged before me. Of course I was child, and my first swallow of the liquid of battle, bleeding black hair, dying in demon noise, made me wild. It was kinder than that, though. And I showed like a banner my kindness. I loved. And a man will guard when he loves. There, white-gowned democracy was my fair lady. With a knife lying cold and straight. In the softness of a sweet flowing sleeve. But for the sake of the dear smiling mouth. And the stuttered promise. I toyed with my life. I threw back. I would not remember entirely the night. But still, am I good enough to die for them? Is my blood bright enough to be spilled? Was my constant back question. Are they clear on this? Or do I intrude even now? Am I clean enough to kill for them? Do they wish me to kill for them? Or is my place, while death licks his lips and strides to them, in the galley still? In the galley still? The galley.
To you, Dory Miller, mess attendant third class, for gallant service beyond the call of duty, aboard the USS Arizona during the attack on Pearl Harbor, the President of the United States bestows upon you the Navy Cross.
And of course my birthday was celebrated, and there was enough glory to go around. When I was granted leave for a homecoming, I walked up the wooden steps of my mother's house, while inside I knew she waited for me. When I heard her call, I stepped in the shadow.
Dory? Is that you, Dory? I thought you were here. Oh, Dory!
Mom, Mom.
Dory. You've made it back safe.
Sure.
Let me look. You're not hurt.
Of course not. Told you those guns wouldn't hurt me.
Come on in. We've been waiting for you.
Who's we?
Come and see.
Buddy!
How you doing? How you doing? You old fella.
I'm a mechanic.
Look at you. Look at you. All dressed up in that mustard.
Yeah. What do you know, hero?
Tell me how long you'll be here so we can explain.
Well, let's not talk about that, Mom. When I go, I'll be back. You know I'll come back.
I know you will.
I adore you, son of governor. You're a gem and a sucker.
Now, look here.
You want to be a gunner. Oh, you shoot down 3, 4, 5 enemy planes. But do you get to be a gunner? You're still busting stuff.
I'm due for a transfer and a promotion when I get back.
When are you going to wake up, gunner, and understand what the fight's all about?
Now, see here, if you think I came home to hear all that stuff you put on those cells when I was overseas.
Boys! This is no way to talk. Maybe a long time before we see Dory again.
Oh, I'll come back, Mom.
Sure you will.
Then... be careful. Don't be a gunner. Be careful. And be listening. Because I'm going to keep calling for you. I'm going to keep calling your phone.
And I went back to my ship and looked forward to soothe the itch again. And I stood listening while the commander read off my new orders and my new promotion.
For your devotion to duty, extraordinary courage, Dory Miller, you are hereby to be assigned to the aircraft carrier Liscombe Bay and promptly promoted from mess attendant third class to first class mess attendant.
Of course, there was gall as well as glory. I took both. Of course, the Jim Crow knife cut deep. Of course, it was meant to slash the birth cord that for a tiny instant had bound us brother to brother in the struggle to right the human race. Of course, I served in the galley on the Liscombe Bay, swabbed the deck, and fingered the Navy Cross. When torpedoes caught up with the bay and hell got free and stalked the ship, I heard the captain's voice on the speaker.
Abandon ship! Abandon ship! This is it!
I saw the cook stagger like a drunk and I cried to him. Hey, cook! Telephone deck! Kind of pirate cook!
Don't worry! Help him! I'm hit!
Come on, you can make it! Hurry! I reached for him and he sagged like a sack in my arms and whispered.
They missed
us. Come on, take it easy.
It's time to go.
Come on. Don't talk. Come on.
Hold me tight.
I held him tight and lifted him dead out of the galley. I stumbled around the wreckage and some of the crew still remembered Pearl Harbor and called my name.
Dory, help me.
But this time, all the help I could give had been given. The air was filled with planes diving on the wounded ship, and their tracers searched for the living. And the captain going by noticed me and said,
Dory Miller. Oh, you saved a lot of us at Pearl Harbor. Too bad there won't be a repeat performance. Secure your life belt. This is it.
This was it. My ship was wallowing in the foam like a giant dirty dish, ready to go down for final washing. And some men cried, and some screamed, and some said odd things. But all they said,
Dory.
Yes, sir.
Dory, you left the galley full of dirty dishes. What do we do if the captain sees it? What do we do, Dory? What do we do?
And the gunner crept about on his knees and appealed to me.
Hey, you seen my socks, Dory? Lord, I can't go away without my socks. Anybody seen my socks?
And when
anybody
the planes dived again, that trace was sickle the turret until a gunner cried like a baby.
Now that's enough! That's
enough from you! Stop it! We are all dead men, waiting to be buried in the coffin of the ship. And each wave and each bullet was like a nail. And of course my life paraded before my eyes. And until the last, the steward reprimanded me. And the mate carried on the search for his sock. And under the twisted bridge, I knew I could not answer him or the voice I'd left in Texas calling me home.
Dory.
Nor would I have time to answer the men in Washington who wondered if I were worth the metal.
From the Magnolia State, can I rise again to ask about this plan for congressional commendation for the Dory Miller? I am opposed to this new commendation and this talk about equal rights. It's the only new way to persecute the free white folks of my state who are right this minute dying on the battlefields at high speed to protect the American way of life. Who else has sacrificed more than the raised sons of my state for this here country? All this talk about new laws and civil rights is nonsense. I never heard of this Dory Miller, and I'm sure that some worthy Caucasian hero can be found.
Yes, it is true that once I had to kick their law into their teeth in order to save them. However, I've heard that sometimes you have to deal devilishly with drowning men in order to swim to shore, or they will haul themselves and you to the trash and fish beneath. When I think of this, I do not worry about a few chipped teeth. And it is good I once gave glory. It is good I once put gold on their name. There would have been spikes in the afterward's hand, for I am a gem. Though they're not concerned, and it was hardly the enemy my fight was against, but them. Naturally, the important thing is I helped to save them and a part of their democracy. And I'm feeling well and settling myself because I believe it was a good job, despite this possible horror, that they might prefer the preservation of their laws and all its sick dignity and their knives to the continuation of their creed and their lives. It was with this in mind that I died. It was with this and the hope that she whose call I never answered would somehow understand why her son itched for the gun.
Oh, Dory, you'll get hurt if you don't stop playing with those guns, Dory. Dory. Oh, Dory.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization, Autobiography of a Hero, the story of Dory Miller. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Bob Womble. Part of today's script was from the poem Negro Hero by Gwendolyn Brooks. The role of Dory Miller was played by Fred Pinkard. Others in the cast were Weslin Tilden, Jess Pugh, Maurice Copeland, Ken Griffin, Don Gallagher, and Oscar Brown. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Elwin Owen and Bobby Christian. This is Hugh Downs inviting you to be with us again next week when Destination Freedom will tell the story of Albert Merritt, the Pied Piper of Martinsville. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.